unity. Noah Webster, in the 1828 dictionary, includes this for the definition of unity. Unity is a thing undivided itself, but separate from every other thing. From Psalms 133, he quotes, "How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." The dictionary was written in 1828, about 40 years prior to the discovery of Christian Science by Mary Baker Eddy, which was in 1866. And it wasn't until about the 1940s that there was serious research on the all-important statement by Mary Baker Eddy, where she said that divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system. That's from page 146, Science and Health. And then it was another 30 years after that for the next major step up in the discovery of exactly what this science is about. In Mary Baker Eddy's landmark book, Christ in Christmas, she has a number of illustrations, and the final illustration is a blank, indicating that the door is wide open for continuous discovery. Since God is infinite, the discoveries will be continuous indefinitely. Mary Baker Eddy states that science is so vast, and she's talking about the science of divine metaphysics, that the door must be left open for other writers to expound and further discover about the details of the door that she opened. If we contemplate unity, it certainly is easy to realize that there is an interconnection with everything that exists. Just like the trees of the redwood sequoias in Northern California, that underneath the surface, which is a shallow root system, the trees that are in a particular stanza are bonded together. It's like music. A stand of trees is like a stanza of music. The stanza of music is bonded together, unified with the entire musical composition. And a stand of trees is unified with that species throughout the world. Geographics does not matter. They still have a unity. The same thing with individuals. Geographics are not a restriction. If two different individuals are looking at a bright object in the sky, the triangle formed between the object and the two individuals looking at the object means that the individuals are closer and closer in their thought as they are observing the features of the object. If any two individuals are studying, learning, and progressing about what truth is, or mind, or spirit, or soul, or principle, or life or love, what those terms represent, are an attraction to anyone that is seeking the truth about what God is, what man is, and the relationship between God and man. Mary Baker Eddy stated that if there were unity with just a handful of Christian Scientists, that they could change the world. An individual can change their life if they are unified with the qualities of God. And of course, that brings them in harmony with everyone that is a seeker of truth, that is getting closer and closer to the understanding of what God is, what man is, and the relationship between God and man. In general terms, God is the source and man is the image and likeness. Man is the manifestation of the source. God works through man to manifest itself. As it states in the Bible, in the first chapter of Genesis, extending to verse 3 in the second chapter, the very last step that is mentioned in the order of creation was that God made man in his image and likeness and gave man dominion over all the earth. But a very important factor in the entire chapter of Genesis is the word let, and it says let this happen, let that happen. So we have to open up our door of thoughts or consciousness to let these things develop in our thought. Let the light that is the first day of creation, let the light be established in our consciousness. And the second one about the firmament, dividing the light from the darkness. Let that happen. Let ourselves recognize that this is very important. We cannot try to have a mixture of light and dark, or truth and error, or spirit and matter, or intelligence and ignorance, life and death. These don't mix. It's one or the other. We have to make an individual decision on what we are going to seek. Are we interested? Are we at the point in our individual progress that we are ready to seek something more stable, more consistent, more permanent than what we have already lived? The dance of mortal mind, which is up and down, consistently, or should I say constantly, for mortal mind is not consistent. And if we really are at that point, then we can focus some attention on what God is, which is considered the Word. There are four sides of the city of God, as defined in the book of Revelation. And Mary Baker Eddy elaborates on this. The Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. That's the north, east, south, and west. So the Word is defining God, the facts about God. The Christ is translating what is appearing to us into the spiritual nature. In other words, it's going from the visible to the invisible. Christianity is demonstrating the facts about God and the spiritual nature into proof, into success. That is what demonstration is all about. Success over the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. Becoming unified with the Christ consciousness. Unified with God. Unified in the sanctuary of spirit. With spirit. Science, which is the fourth side of the city, means that we have already accomplished the demonstration, and we are it. We are sons and daughters of God. We first have to go through the step of being the sons and daughters of man, generic man. And what that really means is that as a human male, we have recognized the value of the human female's qualities. And those like are more related to things like love, consideration, nurturing, the motherhood, nurturing of the qualities. And the woman has to be appreciating the male qualities, which are deemed to be things such as strength, courage, independence. And these all have to be related to the spiritual nature of these terms. If we want to be unified, we must appreciate that the wholeness is the male and female combined. Completeness is unity. Love is unity with all of the qualities of God. Because love represents wholeness, completeness. If we think about this quote from Psalms that is quoted by Noah Webster, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We're talking about mental unity with God, with the incorporeal, divine, supreme, an infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. In chapter 3, marriage, in the textbook Science and Health, that refers to unity with the Christ consciousness. Not two humans. The highest level of marriage and unity is with God. With each one of the synonymous terms, the qualities related to those that was just mentioned, which is one of the definitions of God. From page 465, the chapter recapitulation. In Science and Health. We could not possibly criticize, condemn, or to be unfavorable in a comment about someone else if we realize that we are all unified. Because if we're going to have an unfavorable thought about someone else, that means that we have an unfavorable thought in the root of our own thought. And that's what we see when we look in the mirror. Who are we really criticizing or condemning or thinking unfavorable about? It's the person we see in the mirror. Because our thoughts are projected into what we see, what we think and say and do. That's all a result of our thought. Or we can be totally passive and just let anything into our thought from no matter whatever the source seems to be. And that will guarantee a decline from any part of goodness. Mary Baker Eddy states that we are constantly bombarded with unfavorable thoughts about God. Comes from every direction. We have to take a stand for principle. What are we going to have in our closet? Our closet of thoughts, our consciousness. Is it going to be in order? Is there going to be any structure? Is there going to be any system? Or is it going to be just like an empty closet in a home? And then we start throwing things in there haphazardly just to clean up a room, for example. And whatever is in that closet, be very difficult to find it. Might have to take everything out and examine it in order to find it. But if we have a structure where everything is organized, labeled if needed, then we can go right to it. I saw a hardware store one time, and it was brand new, and it was good size, everything well organized, and there was a small building outside, and I inquired what that was, because it certainly couldn't store what was in the big building as extra inventory. And it was owned by the whole property was owned by a family. And the fellow I talked to was one of the sons of the man that started it, and he had since passed on. But he said, well, that was the hardware store my dad had before we built this new one. I said, well, it's so tiny. How could he function? He said, you wouldn't believe what he had in there. He could immediately go to what he needed to obtain to satisfy his customers that came in there to buy a specific item. He says, I have no idea how he could do that. This is the son, you know. But he did it. He said, you'd be amazed. People were constantly going to the store to buy things. So the size is not the deciding factor on the level of organization one has. One might say, if I only had a larger house or a larger closet or whatever, larger office, larger desk. But it's what is in thought that is important. How organized are we in our thought? Spirit, which is the second of the seven terms that describe God, is the synonymous term that the word O-R-D-E-R is assigned to, order. So first, mind provides the idea, enlightenment, but spirit provides order. Now they combine together because intelligence is a quality of mind, so the order has to be intelligent. And mind provides the enlightenment. Principle provides the structure of that order and the system. System and structure are functions of principle. And of course, soul is sense, and since spirit is also substance, because certainly we don't want something of the substance of matter if we want it to be always effective and doing what it needs to do as the substance of whatever it is that we're considering. So since spirit is the only substance, then soul, which is sense, has to be spiritual sense. And if we have spiritual sense, then we can identify things properly as their spiritual nature. So right there, in this short span of a couple of minutes, it has been explained that mind, spirit, soul, and principle work together. So there's part of the network. Just like the roots of the trees of the redwood sequoias. All one network. God is an infinite network. Every word in the dictionary can be explained either through the seven synonymous terms, or they are a reminder of it being an opposite, so that we need to get on track. The line is very definite. Either it is God, God-like, or it is unlike God, and therefore it's unreal. Just as Kurt Russell said when asked about his life compared to his movies, he said, well, my life is what's real. The movies are fantasy land. Things that are godlike are real. We have to look at everything that is ungodlike as being fantasy land. You can waste time thinking about it, being indulged in it, but that's exactly what it is. You're getting yourself further and further away from God if you do that. Because there's no mixture. Each thought, each speech, each action has to be replaced if it is ungodlike. Can't be improved, it's got to be replaced with godlikeness. unity. We have to be unified. We have to be unified with the network. Another definition in the Noah Webster 1828 says, oneness of sentiment, affection, or behavior. I'm not sure it should be or, probably more like and, or a comma, where they're all in effect. It seems that everyone has a built-in consciousness that helps them to decide whether what they're thinking, talking, or doing, whether that is good or not good, whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing. The Bible says precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. We must be like the turtle. Make constant progress. Not two steps up and one step back. We have to be consistent. Pray without ceasing is being consistent. Mary Baker Eddy states, the moment, which of course is defined in the dictionary as the smallest measurement of time, the moments are what we need to tend to. The difference between success and failure, she says, is often dependent upon how we use the moment. Yes. It's good to block out a certain amount of time or just start doing it until you're led to do something else. But of course, if you are tending to the moment, that compounds into anything you let it compound into. But no matter what one is doing, if they think about the spiritual nature of what one is doing, or they change what they're doing so that it does have a spiritual nature, then one will be doing what Mary Baker Eddy states, which is power, where she says the good we do and embody is the only power obtainable. Power, of course, is a measurement of performance. Power cannot exist unless there's performance, because it's a measurement of performance. Performance means the results from what we think, say, and do. And if we do it with the intelligence of the divine mind and the knowing and the wisdom, and we're utilizing the creative capacity which is available to us from reflecting God, then we are in a position to take action. The action becomes performance. Performance is then measured as power. But we have to be unified with the qualities of God. That is praying without ceasing. No matter what the activity is we're involved in, if we approach it from a spiritual standpoint, the activity itself will be so much more effective, will be done more quickly because we're overcoming time and space, and it will reflect out into the universe of thought, and others will benefit from that, because it's something that we are demonstrating live. And whoever connects into the network of truth has that available. If one is on the right frequency, they will benefit from all of the good that has been demonstrated by everyone. It's like a cafeteria. What do you want to focus on at the moment? Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures is a demonstration of Mary Baker Eddy. And that was reflected out to the universe. We can tune in to that frequency if we really want to do it. If we're really seeking the truth, every time we study the truth, there will be more truth opened up to us. We will get a higher level of understanding. The Mary Baker Eddy Institute offers treatments in audio format, and two of those treatments are about how to negotiate with the devil, and there's another two that are about Nazism, how to heal it. And in both of those situations, whether we're talking about how to negotiate with the devil being a more general, comprehensive term than Nazism, which happens to be one form of the devil or evil, one needs to consider that whether one is talking about the devil in general or a specific form of it, the one thing that is the enemy of the devil or evil or Nazism or any other form of evil, the one most powerful enemy of it is unity. The suggestion is, from the standpoint of evil, we must divide and conquer. Because that's the only way they can win. That's the only way that it can win, rather. If it can divide and conquer. And the only way one can win against the suggestion of evil, the devil, or any form thereof, is to be unified. Unity is the key. That is the single word that will bring success. We have to be unified with truth, with all the qualities of God, as represented by the parent terms, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And we have to go through the process of the system of the operators of the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. Just like mathematics or music are worthless if you look at a single thing as opposed to the unity. You can't just look at the number 7. The number 7 means nothing. The number 4,866,000,000,000 or whatever means nothing if it's isolated. But if it's unified, in other words, an operator, which the four operators in math are add, subtract, multiply, and divide. So if you multiply a number by another number, or it's itself, 3 times 3 or 3 times 4 would be another number. 3 times 3 means multiplying it by itself, which of course is the square. Squaring it, then it has significance, but it has to have a topic. Is it 2 times 3 thoughts, where you're going to think about those in 2 different ways, 3 different thoughts and think about it in 2 different ways? Or is it a 1? You have 5 things to do, so it's 1 times 5. 1 times each of the 5. Then the number is significant, or how many hours are you going to spend on it? Everything has to be a product. It has to be the operator combined with the element. Music, same thing. One single tone means very little. But if you multiply it, or if you combine it with other harmonious tones, then you have a new tone. It may be called a chord. Everything has operators, whether it's math, music, chemistry, anything we're doing can be broken down into its elements. And if we use the moment to be unified with the spiritual nature, then we can make the consistent progress, like the turtle in the race with the rabbit. The rabbit is fast for a short period of time and then has to rest. The turtle, consistent, and wins the race. Because the rabbit is sleeping as the turtle walks across the finish line. We need to be consistent. I think it was Einstein that said that compound interest is the 8th wonder of the world. Because compound interest, or compounding, the law of compounding, is not linear, it is geometric. In other words, it's not a straight line. The relationship between the variables is not a straight line, but it is a curve, like acceleration. If anyone has ever taken a ride as a passenger or a pilot, whatever, in a jet airplane, it starts off slow, and then there's an acceleration, faster and faster. In fact, one of the, maybe it's the fastest car, had a race with, I think it was the F-35. Anyway, it was supposedly the fastest jet airplane, at least from America. And they started, you know, they both were on a line where their wheels were at the beginning, or maybe the nose of the vehicle was at the same spot. And the car was at the finish line before the airplane, because the airplane started out slowly, even though it's like the fastest one built in America. Whereas the car lunged forward instantly. Propeller planes are faster initially than a jet, you know, out of the starting block, so to speak. You know, they say that for people that are runners, they have their feet in these wooden blocks, or I don't know what they're made out of these days, but anyway, those are called the starting blocks. So the first one to leave the starting block, or a horse in a horse race, when they open the gate and they all lunge forward, the first one out. The car is the first one out. If you race a cheetah against a turtle, the cheetah is going to be the first one out of the, you know, across the beginning line. Anyway, he says that the eighth wonder of the world is compound, the law of compounding. So we need to be compounding a little bit here, a little bit there, with our moments. And then it builds up to success. Getting back to the synonymous terms, one of the key words for life is vitality. Living the qualities of God. Experiencing them one at a time. A little bit here, a little bit there. Truth is like a discipline. You're on a path. You're on the road. A longtime friend of mine knew I was going to take a driving trip in a car. And it was stated that, remember, that mind is the driver, truth is the road, and love is the vehicle. If we don't have love, we're not going to get anywhere. It's the lubricant that makes everything work. Oil. It's one of the things in the definition of love. So you better be intelligent when you're driving. You better stay on the road as truth. And you better use the ointment, the lubricant of love, to make everything work together. You don't run through a traffic light. You've got to be in harmony with the ones that are going the other way. Instead of running into them, you've got to use that lubricant of love. That might mean to be patient, to wait till it's your turn. And you can use the moments in the meantime. Think about something spiritual. If one is preparing their own food, they could be thinking about spiritual things, or they could even have an audio they could be listening to keep their thought in line or to help guide them in their thought process. Instead of wasting time, so easy to let your mind wander. And what do you have in the end? Nothing. No compounding taking effect for good. Might be compounding waste. And we've already talked about what love is: oneness, wholeness, completeness, oneness with the Father, Mother God, completeness. It's nurturing to make sure we get to completeness, nurturing each of the qualities within ourselves. Forget about the other person. That's not our business. We need to work out our own salvation, which of course includes our view about everyone else. Our view, our concept, not messing with their mind, not trying to control their schedule, not trying to control their salvation. Look ahead, not over to the side. Look ahead. What's ahead? The spiritual nature of God. That's what's out there. And we will reflect it if we focus on the spiritual nature of God. Because if that's in our consciousness, that's going to be in our thought, speech, and action. We're going to get those divine messages. We're going to see good things, the truth, the spiritual nature. We're going to hear it. We're going to understand it. Spiritual understanding is the hearing. We're going to feel it. We're going to taste it. We're going to smell it. The spiritual senses are all going to be much more spiritual in nature if we are thinking about the qualities of God. We're going to be living it. We're going to be living the qualities of God. We're going to be staying on the path, the road. We're not going to take any number of the what appears to be infinite side trips and get diverted and diluted and interfered with. Unity. Unity must be with the perfect model. Mary Baker Eddy refers to looking at our model continuously, like a sculpturist or a painter, or like the pianist that was asked how he could perform so perfectly. He said, "I let the music play me." Are we going to let God play us? Are we going to let the qualities of God be reflected? Are we going to have a veil like Genesis chapter 2? A mist went up, it says. Well, you can't see things clearly. You can't do things clearly. You can't think clearly. You can't, you know, you're totally lost if you're in a mist. We got to be looking at the sun shine, the enlightenment, the ideas of God. Unity. We can be a very significant raindrop in the ocean of goodness if we want to be. God is all in all source, all manifestation, and the manifestation is included as a part of the source because of unity. Amen.